And so we have to realign ourselves so that we are not walking in corruption or deceit or lies, and so that we are focusing on what the Word of God says to our lives. Listen, the Word of God is hard sometimes. It's difficult sometimes. It's difficult to put aside ourselves. I don't know about you, but I love myself. Anybody besides Ivan? I mean, look at me. I am well taken care of, right? We all do. We have things that we want to do, but it's not always good for us, is it? Is it good for us to overindulge in things and to do things that we shouldn't be doing to our bodies? No, it's not good for us. There's all kinds of things that we can do, but that we don't do them because that is corruption, and it leads us in a way that God has not called us to walk. We've been called to live in the promise. Listen to that first scripture. To participate in the divine nature. Everybody say participate. All right, note number one. I want to remind us as a church, we are not a spectator church. So if you're our guest today, we're not a spectator church. And what I mean by this is if you look around on most Sundays, the people that you're sitting by, they may be sitting by you a couple of Sundays of the month, but they're going to be working most Sundays. We're not a spectator church. And if you believe in just occupying a seat and not doing anything for the kingdom of God, then we're probably not a good fit for you. Because we believe in working for the kingdom of God. Because there's something to do all the time for the kingdom. Right now, all over this campus, there are people taking care of our babies. There's people running sound. There's people doing security. There's people everywhere doing all kinds of things. We're not a spectator church. Just like we're not a spectator faith. You weren't called to just sit back and go, well, I'm just going to ride this out till Jesus comes. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. That's not how this works. You're called to get involved and to work, to participate in the divine nature of God, to walk and to live in the nature of God. And listen, that requires us putting what we want to the side. Would you describe everything that you participate in as godliness this morning? Would you describe everything that you've looked at online this week as godliness? Doesn't even have to be pornography or things like that, but has every conversation you had this week, would you describe it as godliness? See, that gets rough right there, doesn't it? Has every attitude you've had this week, would it be described as righteous? Every conversation you've had with your spouse, would it be described as holy? Right? Don't elbow them. They're sitting right beside you, all right? Don't do it. But God has called us to participate in the divine nature. So this morning is this. We can live in hope or we can live in the promise. And I don't know about you, but I want to live in the promise. I mean, what if we just came together this morning as believers and we just said this, well, one day, you know, one day we're going to go to heaven. One day we're going to go to heaven. And that's it. What about now? What about right now? What about living the life around? Yes, eternally, that is our hope. But what about right now? And that's what I want us to tackle this morning. It's more than just a hope, and it's an expectation. God has made promise after promise after promise to his people. So I'm going to share some of them with you this morning. They're substantial. Number one, salvation. Everybody say salvation. Salvation from our sin. We're saved from corruption. God made a way through Jesus Christ. One of my favorites is to always and only do us good. Did you know that was a promise from God? You're like, hang on now, Ivan. I mean, there's not always been good in my life. That's correct. But there's always been good from God. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the things that he pushes down through your life are good things. And they're good things that are designed to fulfill a purpose. But see, here's what happens. How many times have you got in the way of the good things that God has designed for you? See, that's the issue. It's not that God has caused the issue. The issue is we've got in the way of what God is doing. Remember that word corruption? Corruption is when we try to plan out our own lives. Should we plan? Yes. Should we better ourselves? Yes. But should we pray about these things and ask God, where are you taking me, God? And what do you want me to do? Of course we should. But so often that's hindsight. So often that's hindsight. We don't plan in accordance with God. But God, he has called us to walk in good. He's called us to have all that we needed provided for us. Now, let's separate need and want there, right? Because I know what you're thinking right now. I need that boat, and I need that new car, and, you know, I need those clothes. And we go down the list. No, it didn't say what you want. It said what you need. And as humans, we have to constantly battle this out. Because I don't know about you, but the signs catch my eye, too. Right? When you're walking around and you see the signs, you're like, oh, that's nice. That's really nice. You know, that we could use that. I think I could put that to use in my own life. Or, oh, I would look good in that. Anybody ever have that one going on? That those will look great on my feet. Or, oh, a watch like that. Oh, that would match my ring. And if I got another ring for the hand, it would look right. And it just grows, right? And it's not what we need, it's what we want. But God has called us to walk in provision of what we need. Another promise, that you'll never be alone. That once you become a believer in Jesus Christ, that you'll never be alone. One of the beauty of our things, that it's a beauty of our faith. It's not just that we won't be alone in spirit, but we won't be alone in number. Right now, any of us in this room can call the person sitting beside us and say, hey, I need some help. And I guarantee you, they're going to do their best to help you. But even if they're not available, God's Spirit will be there for us. That He will hear and respond to our prayers. That God hears every cry, every call, every word. That when we suffer, He'll sustain us. That He'll protect our faith. That He'll give us the power of the Holy Spirit. That He'll provide eternal life for us. These are all promises made available to us. All of us. Not just some of us, but all of us. So we're going to tackle some of them this morning and see how we are walking them. So I want to tackle number one, that He's promised to always and only do good for us. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Many of you probably know this by heart. I'm going to read 26 through 29. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. In verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Listen, God's made a way for good to happen in your life. God's made a way. And one of the things that we have to get better at as believers is recognizing that. We say, well, you don't understand, this week I got fired from my job. Okay, well, was that your fault? Or was that someone else's fault? You got fired from your job. Okay, so what's the next step? We're just going to lay around and go, oh, poor me, my boss can't stand, poor me. Well, I don't know about you, but the times I've made job changes, they've generally been a better move for me. And God opened up another door for me to walk through. Anybody besides Ivan? And what about relationships? You say, well, you don't know what I'm going through this relationship. Well, I don't know about you. But even in just friendships, sometimes those friendships have ended and better friendships have come along. Stronger friendships, closer kindred ties that have been better for me. Sometimes doors have to close for other doors to open. And sometimes it's the way that we look at it that really changes how we feel about it. We have to begin to look at things through God's eyes. Maybe you had a path planned out. I mean, I guarantee you this morning, if we went around the room and shared, right now, this point in time in your life, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, did you think you'd be sitting where you are right now? And most of us in this room, you've heard me share it over and over again. 10 years ago, if you told me I'd be standing here this morning, pastoring a church, preaching to a group of believers, I would have probably laughed at you. And went, man, no way, that is not for me. I'm a youth minister for life. Yeah, yay, W. I'm youth minister. Let's do this. Youth worship. We got it, right? I never thought I'd be standing here. Ever. And I would have looked at you and said, no, that's not for me. But God had different plans. And the journey to get me here was not one that was all that exciting sometimes, I'll be honest with you. And sometimes it was difficult. It was difficult. But we're walking where God wants us to walk. Listen, a certain path didn't work out for you. Well, maybe you should ask God, was that my path or your path? And either, regardless, you say, God, what path should I be on right now? Where do you want me to go from this point? Even in the worst, God is able to turn around for our good. I mean, our community has dealt with some just very difficult situations in the last couple of weeks. Death of children, a death of family members. And it's just so hard to wrap our minds around. But let me assure you, church, that in God's perfect plan, He can take things that are ugly and tragic and make them beautiful. He can take something that's difficult and painful and make it something that glory rolls out of, and that we see the hand of God moving in that changes people's lives. Listen, this is great scripture. If you don't have any other scripture today, Romans 8 and 28, walk away with it. This is a great scripture to speak over your life every day. You're in a difficult moment. You're in a bad relationship. You're in a difficult job. Get up every day and pray this scripture. God, I know that You've been working things out for my good, because You've called me according to Your purpose. And I love You, God. I know You're going to work it out for my good. Every day, pray that prayer. Very simple. God, You're working it out for my good. I trust You today. When it's falling apart, speak it over your life. When you get up and the world's crumbling around you, speak it over your life. God, I believe today that You're working it for my good. Number two, God hears us and answers us. He'll answer us. How many of you how many of you despise this? I hate when I send someone a text and they don't reply to me. Anybody besides Ivan? Right? Because I know you had my number and you didn't just magically lose it, right? And you answered like 20 things and then we kept talking and then you just went away, right? And I know people get busy and all that, but like 5 days went by, you could have replied back, okay? So anybody besides me can't stand that? I can't stand that. And I know when people, they just ignore it, all right? Well, what if God did us that way? Wrap your mind around that this morning. What if God had that problem with answering his children? I'll just get to him when I get to him. Yeah, I know you're down there. You're sinking, but it's going to sink or swim, buddy. Right? What if that's the way God looked at us? And what if that's the way that God treated us? Just in silence. And how difficult would that be sometimes? And thankfully this morning we have the word to turn to. And when we're praying and we don't feel the nudge of God's Spirit speaking to us about a direction, we go back to the Word. And there's always something in the Word that God is speaking to us through. Go with me this morning in Matthew 7:7-12. It says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them to do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Listen, a promise to God that God has made to us this morning from God is this, that when you call on him, he'll answer you. When you cry to him, he'll hear you and he'll answer you. Now listen to me, church. It's not always the answer we want. And that's the problem. God never spoke to me. God never spoke to me. God never spoke to me. Yeah, God spoke to you. But sometimes you just didn't want to hear what God had to say. And God was showing you through his word the path that he wanted you to walk on. And sometimes you were just too stubborn to recognize that's the step that you needed to take. Because you're like, no, that's not the plans that I have for me. Listen, God has good plans for you this morning. When you call out to him, he hears you. And he promises the next thing, it ties directly into this, that whatever you need, he would supply. Whatever you need. Over and over and over in Scripture, the righteous have never been forsaken. Remember that one? Nor their seed out. Anybody remember the second part? Begging bread. Begging bread. The righteous have never been forsaken. Nor their seed could be found out begging bread, because God provides for those who are his own. Listen to me this morning. Whatever he needs, whatever you need, he will supply. But let me put this in there. Don't get in a hurry. Let me say that again. Don't get in a hurry. Because your timeline is not God's timeline. And the crisis that you created doesn't constitute an emergency on God's part. Let me say that again. Don't get in a hurry. Because the thing sometimes that you've created for yourself, God's sitting there and he's like, well, you know, I tried to tell you. You know, I had the Spirit speak to you. I left this word for years and years and years. I pieced this thing together for you. And you're still not listening. Listen, God has laid it out for you. Just don't get in a hurry. Be patient. Don't try to rush God. Mistake. Don't try to rush God. And don't try to make things happen on your own when things aren't rolling. I will tell you my own situation right now. One of the things that I've been praying over my own life. God, is what is my next step in my job? God, what is my next step? And what I feel like God is saying is just hold tight right now. Just hold tight. I don't know about you, but hold tight is difficult for Ivan. That's difficult. Just waiting and waiting and waiting. It's hard for Ivan. But listen, I'm learning. I'm just like you. I'm learning. I'm like, God, I want to trust you in this. Because I don't want to jump out here and then look back and go, man, I wish I'd have waited on God. Because I've done that before. I've done that before, and I don't want to be there again. Listen, don't try to rush God. God's got it under control. Just sit back and wait and be patient and know that the Lord is God. Stand upon his word, and he'll demonstrate to you. The next one this morning, the promise that when we suffer, he'll sustain us. Now, I submit to you this morning that we really don't understand what suffering is in the United States of America. I would submit to you this morning, having been someone who's walking on other shores and has walked down the streets of Quito, Ecuador, and have been in other countries, that we don't know what suffering really is here in the United States. That our poor people live what in other countries they would consider middle class and above. That even our homeless people have better access to things than what other countries do. I would submit to you this morning that we don't really understand what it means when we suffer. Suffering for us is when we lose someone or like our income changes. That's what we look at as suffering. Or, you know, we had to miss a meal. You know, that's what we equate suffering with. Listen to me, church, that's not suffering. That's not really suffering. Is it difficult sometimes? And does life throw curveballs? Yes. But there's people all across this globe that are being persecuted right now for their belief in Jesus Christ. There's people all across this globe that their life is hanging in the balance because they spoke about the Word of God and faith in Jesus Christ. That's what true suffering is. But even in the midst of these things, God says this, that He will sustain us. Listen to what Psalm 55, 22 through 23 says. Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. But you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you. Man, I love this passage. Cast your cares on the Lord. It doesn't say the big things or the little things. It says every care that you have, cast it on the Lord. Anybody ever done a cast net? A few people? You know how you sling it out there? Man, that's what God is saying to us this morning, to cast every care that you have on the Lord. Sling it to the cross. Don't hold on to it. Don't come all timid and, you know, throw it up there. But sling it. Get rid of it. Cast it on the Lord. Because He cares for you and He will sustain you. He's never let the righteous be put down to the pit of decay. Every example we have from when the righteous are persecuted, man, that turns out for the glory of God. God will meet you in that hour. Not when you try to do it yourself. Not when you try to manhandle it and fix it like you wanted it. Do an end around for God's plan. But when you cast your cares on Him, you can stand on the promise that He'll sustain you. If you want to write something down this morning, write this down. There's nothing out there that will shock God. Write it down this morning, church. There's nothing out there that will shock God. You've never had a feeling or emotion or an anger or anything that you've crossed your mind that will shock God. It won't. It won't shock God. And you can cast it on His feet, and He'll take care of it. Trust Him this morning. The next thing I want to tackle as I'm moving towards wrapping things up this morning is that God promises that He would send His Spirit to us. Go with me to John chapter 14, 15 through 17. It says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Listen, God has sent His Spirit. When Jesus Christ ascended back into the heaven, He sent the Holy Spirit to live within us, to dwell within us, to empower us to accomplish the tasks that He has put before us. Listen, it's His Spirit that lives within us. And it will bring power for us to overcome. Everybody say overcome. I don't know about you, but I want to overcome obstacles. I want to overcome them. I don't want to succumb. I want to overcome. I want to be victorious. I'm very competitive. Many of you have had the chance to experience that. As we've played sports together and we've hunted together, we've done it. I'm a competitive nature like many of you. And man, I want to overcome. I don't want to succumb. I want to overcome. I want to win. I want to be victorious. And ultimately, that's what the Word of God is saying to us as believers, is that we will walk in victory. That we will overcome. That we don't have to give in to the throes of this life. Listen to Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Acts 10:37 through 46. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with Him. We are witnesses of everything He did in the country of the Jews in Jerusalem. They killed Him by hanging Him on a cross, but God raised Him from the dead on the third day and caused Him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but by witness from whom God had already chosen by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one who God appointed as the judge of the living and the dead. And all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Listen to me, church. God has a plan to pour out his Spirit upon us as we live in the last days. Power for living, power for purpose, power for miracles in Jesus' name. Power to overcome the evil one in Jesus' name. God has called us to walk in the power of his Holy Spirit. Listen, you say, well, Ivan, I don't know about you. I don't feel like I have power. Man, begin to pray. Say, God, fill me with your power. Fill me with your strength. Fill me with your Spirit so that I can accomplish the task. I pray the same prayer all the time. God, I want to pray for people and see them healed. God, I want to pray for people and see miracles happen. I want to pray for people and see things that we never thought were possible. God, I want to do that. Fill me with your power. Man, imagine this morning if a room this size, if all of us begin to pray that prayer. God, fill us with your power. Fill us with your Spirit so we can accomplish that you left in your word that we would do. Remember, Jesus said this, greater things will you do. He didn't say you'll do the same things that I've done. He didn't say the things that I've done you'll be able to go do. He said greater things. Man, can you imagine doing greater things than Christ Jesus, our own Lord? Greater miracles? Can you imagine? Listen to me, church, if we all get the mindset that we'll walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can begin to see these amazing things happen. Make it a prayer for your life today. And the last thing I want to say this morning is he has secured for us eternal life. Listen, that is ultimately our hope and belief this morning. But are we living that way right now? Are we living the life that says we've secured eternal life right now? Or are we just living? Are we just living? Listen, we're living this life to live again. Let me say that again. We're living this life to live again, to walk in the fullness of the things that are to come, that promise, hope of eternal life with Jesus Christ. God has prepared a place for us. Listen to John 14, 1 through 4. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Listen to me, church. It's already done. Everything we've covered this morning is already done. Start living like it. Let me say it again. This is already done for you. Begin to live like it. Live in the promises of God. Today, move from the hope of the promise to walking in the promise. Today, move from thinking about the promise to living out the promises of God in our lives today. Write them down. You don't know all of them. Write them down. Study them. Learn them. Man, get you some index cards. Put them in your pocket. When you're on break, pull them out and read them. God, you said you would do this. God, you said you would do this. God, I believe in your word. Begin to meditate on the word of God. Hide it. Quote them. Quote them over your own life. Many of you know that some of my formal training is in counseling. And there's a thing in counseling that we do that's called self-talk. That when we find ourselves in an anxious moment and we don't think we can do something, that we don't tell ourselves, man, you're right, you can't do this. You're not going to be able to get up there and talk to these people. You might as well just quit now. You better run while the running's still able to happen, right? Because you're going to pass out. It's going to be terrible. Everybody's going to laugh at you. Man, you're going to be a failure. You're going to be on the news. Someone's going to take a picture of you. It's going to go viral. The whole world's going to see you. It's going to be crazy. Everywhere you go, they're going to recognize you. You're going to have to move. You're going to have to grow off some hair. You don't have hair, right? You see how it goes? Anybody ever experienced that? It's the snowball effect. When we start telling ourselves something, and what God is saying is, what? God is saying to you this morning, what? That's not what I said in my word. I said you could do it. Remember that part that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength? Remember, I put that in there for you. That one was for you. Remember, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That was for you too. You got this. One of the things that we do is we talk ourselves through things. Listen, several years ago, when I was a teenager, I felt like God gave me this vision that one day that I would be standing on this podium and there would just be a sea of people. And about, I guess it's about 15 years ago, I was asked to do this service here in our town, and it was for graduates. And I don't forget, I was like, yeah, no big deal. And I've been to them year after year. It was no big deal. And so when I got there, they had us all sitting on the podium. And it was funny because when we started, there wasn't very many people there. But as we went, people kept coming and people kept coming and people kept coming and people kept coming. And then here's what was funny. Every time a speaker would say something, they would leave. And so there were about 10 of us on stage until the very last thing, I was sitting there right by myself. And it clicked in my mind that I was fulfilling that vision that God had given me. And as I looked out, it was just this sea of people. It was probably 1,000, I don't know, 1,000, 1,200 people. And there I was standing right by myself speaking to these people. Listen, you can do it. You can do it. The things that God has promised you this morning, you can do it. God's given you the strength. Tell yourself this morning, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. Man, I'm more than a conqueror. I can overcome. I'm going to be victorious. Yeah, I feel like I'm going to pass out right now, but I'm going to do this thing. I got this. I'm going to do it through Jesus' name because I believe that I'm walking in the promise. Man, talk to yourself. Walk yourself through it. Pray. Listen, it's not on you. It's on Him. Stop trying to do it on you and recognize that it's on Him. Cast your cares on Him because He cares for you this morning. Let's pray together.